you missed my wonderful answer, Reggie.
Yeah. No, I think I got it, and I know I have a meeting with you soon, so okay. We can discuss it more then. I asked Rich this question, and I would be remiss, given we've talked about it at every hearing so far, not to ask you about your feelings and thoughts about a merit pay system, an integrated kind of hybrid merit pay system.
I think the hardest thing, conceptually, I think merit pay sounds good until you get down to really making it work. I believe teaching and evaluating teaching is a very subjective act. I think some teachers or administrators, too, work very well with students in different ways. They're able to adjust and adapt very easily. Others are not. And sometimes I've found administrators have a bent towards one kind of teaching style or other, one kind of expectation or other, and yet learning is still taking place. But there becomes an uncomfortable level, and sometimes there are challenges between a teacher who's very flexible and innovative and maybe allows more talking and discussion in a class, and you might have an administrator who really believe that straight rows and absolute quiet and order are the only way students can learn. And I know that those conflicts arise. And so at that point, then you get into some subjectivity about, well, what is good teaching? Is it because this is like what I want, or is it something else? And if we could measure it by student learning and take into consideration all the challenges teachers face with mobility and home situations, it might work. I just don't know of a district I haven't talked to very many that use it, but it becomes a very difficult morale issue, and it also becomes the subjectivity. If you've got a highly respected administrator doing the evaluation, then they're perceived as fair and equitable to everybody, it might work. But if you've got any kind of division going on in a school, or if you've got a perception that any favoritism's brought into that, then I think it's an absolute guarantee of terrible turmoil on a staff at a time when we really need our staff working together, collegially, together to educate young people.
We've heard a couple of times people have told us, special ed teachers, that they are very busy with a lot of paperwork, and I know that's true. I know they have to make progress reports and that sort of thing. But the implication was that somehow there's some paperwork that maybe they should be spending more time with their students and less time doing. I guess my question is there some rote paperwork that we can give people assistance with and allow them to spend more time in contact with their students? And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that issue.
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts on that. No question. IDEA 97, the reauthorization, has just made the paperwork worse. And I know Diane Pogue, when she gets up here, can give you some real specific examples. But one of the things our board did fund in this last budget has been, I believe it was 5 clerical positions, so we can look at this very issue, that if there's a way to hire some paraprofessionals who do more of the paperwork, the technical kinds of things. They have to be trained, obviously, to interpret and make sure, and they'd still have to be reviewed by the teacher, but that way it would hopefully free up the certificated staff to deliver the direct services to the students. We're hoping that that's going to show a benefit in instruction. The reauthorization of IDEA is coming up again. In fact, there's a series of hearings going around by the U.S. Department of Ed right now, and I'm going to be sending our director of special ed and some others to Washington, D.C., because there's a conference back there to do that. But there are hearings around the country talking about these kind of issues. That law, something's got to be done. When certificated people are tied up with paperwork and endless meetings and not being able to devote their time to teaching young people, because that's what they went into it, they're leaving in droves, and I can't say I blame them. I mean, that is not what they went into this profession for. And there's got to be a balance between parent involvement in advocacy for their child and developing an individual plan with the reality of people having time to teach and make the difference for the child. And there's got to be some improvement there. And I'm hoping that everybody around the country is going to be delivering the same message, the educators anyway, saying we have got to have some release. From release, we're losing too many people to the paperwork, to the meetings, and it's just wrong. And so we're working, the state is working with our special ed group on some software. There are some software programs that are being developed now that are assisting in that effort, but we've got a long way to go before the burnout factor continues, because we've got them leaving in droves just to go back. They want to go back and teach kids, so they're going back to the regular ed classroom when we can. Sometimes we aren't allowing them to transfer because then we don't have anybody to take their place. So then what you set them up for is morale problems. They feel not valued because they're just burnt out, and they can't, and they're great teachers. And they're great teachers in the classroom because they know how to modify instruction, they know how to make accommodations, but we also have the requirement of having the certificated staff on the IEP. So it's a challenge.
Well, thank you for that answer.
I'm so sure you're sorry you asked.
Just one quick follow-up?
One really quick follow-up.
Metz, you had brought up, and Senator Green this morning, a testimony about maybe creating a statewide consistent IEP computer system, or at least consistent software, so as a child moved from one place to the other, the software, you know, you would have a similar format, you could transfer that back and forth, and maybe to take some relief off of the districts. Is that something you think the Anchorage School District would be interested in having dialogue about?
Oh, we are. I think, yes, we would, because that's one of the things that Greg Maloney, the special ed director for the state, has been working with Jerry Schlender and our staff and our IT department, trying to see what could work. We're very interested in any kind of a way that we can communicate better, because a lot of our students are coming in from rural Alaska and other districts, and it would make it so much easier to transition them quickly, get their program up and running, and get the services to them that they need.
Thank you. Just a reminder for the folks on this side of the desk that we've got a dozen people to testify yet, and we have an hour. Thank you.
Thank you for your
Gail Lipinski. Afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon, Chairman Bundy and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity for us to tell you about our concerns. I'm Gail Opalinski. I'm the Executive Director of Middle Schools for the Anchorage School District. I've lived in Alaska for 35 years and been teaching here for 31 as an administrator, a principal, and a teacher. And I'm here to express concerns about personnel needs in two particular categories in my division, that's teachers and administrators. This year, our middle schools experienced considerably more enrollment than projected. As a result, the school board awarded our division additional teachers after the start of school. And we immediately experienced difficulties in finding individuals to fill these openings. As of last week, when I met with our principals, the following openings still existed. They are interviewing people that are on the list that we have, but you also have to understand that middle schools are interesting, and there takes a certain personality type, and not all teachers do want to teach at that level. But as of last week, we had four math, two math science, one science, two social studies and or language arts combinations, a counselor, two grant-related peaceable school coordinator teacher openings, one Japanese immersion teacher or teacher aide opening, one special ed teacher, and four special ed teacher aides opening. And as of Friday, we end the first quarter. So these students, although we've had substitutes and done some other things to work with those classes, we have students in some basic core classes right now that don't have their standard teacher in the class with them. And that's just the beginning, because next year I'm not sure what will happen when we do have 200 teachers that possibly could retire. Let me talk about administrators, and then I do have a few things that, you know, as ideas. My second issue is administrators. Within the next few years, we will have a great need for trained and competent administrators. According to the National Association of Secondary School Principals, 40% of all the administrators in the U.S. will be eligible to retire within the next 2 years. Of the 10 principals I supervise, 8 will be eligible to retire as of next year. 7 are eligible right now. As we plan for appropriate attractions for teachers, it will also be important to provide appropriate incentives for teachers who might be interested in becoming administrators. We need those teachers that show leadership skills to step forward and be willing to become administrators for us. A few things that I'd like to see is in mentoring system that will allow us to encourage teachers with the appropriate skills to step into administration. I think one of the things we need to do is make the initial employment more attractive for teachers into Alaska. We need to do mentoring programs, not only with existing teachers. There are some programs where we have teachers that are now teaching, mentoring teachers that are teaching. That takes someone out of a classroom. But we did a few things here with teachers that were retired who came back and mentored new teachers. And I'd like to see that expanded and perhaps some funds be available for that. We need to provide programs for the education of our teachers so that if someone wants to get a master's degree or a doctorate degree or go into a specialty, they're not only available, but we are supplementing them. My niece is a teacher in Delaware. Her district has identified four areas: counseling, reading, special education, and administration. Anyone who wants to continue their education in those areas is fully funded. Every time they pass a class, they are paid back for that class. That's, I think would be very important. We have some very statewide, some very burning issues in special education, in bilingual. In my division, math science is a huge issue, and if there are a way to take teachers that are existing teachers and might be interested in those areas and supplement their education and make sure that the educational courses are available, I think that would be very helpful. And that would also help us retain those teachers. So those are a few things, and I certainly thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you very much. Let's try and get through the testimony, and we'll save our questions. Will you be able to stay if we have questions?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Russ? Ahmed?
Chairman Bundy and members of the committee, my name is Russ Ament, and I'm the Director of Human Resource Operations for the Anchorage School District. One of my areas of responsibility is in the area of classified employment, which is all the non-teaching positions at the Anchorage School District. I have over 20 years of human resource experience, mostly in the private sector and all in the state of Alaska. First of all, let me say that I appreciate the focus on teacher recruitment and retention. It is greatly needed and extremely important. It is, however, not the only area of need at the district. It is important to mention that we are not competitive on the support side of the organization, and as a result, we have not always been successful in filling some of our important positions. I truly believe that we need to focus on both areas because it takes the efforts of both the support and the classroom functions to have a successful school system. As I indicated earlier, I have over 20 years of employment experience in Alaska, and I can say that times have changed in the recruitment area. First of all, I can say that there are fewer applicants for all positions. And second of all, employers are becoming more aggressive in their approaches towards recruitment. Some examples of this are public sector offerings of signing bonuses and relocation packages, to name a few. Some of the areas of current need in the support side are special education teacher assistants, bus drivers, data processing personnel, higher level administrative and key leadership positions in the district. We're especially not competitive in areas where we compete with industries with other industries for candidates. When we go head to head with private sector companies, we are at a disadvantage. Over the last few years, we have lost good candidates in key positions due to inadequate salaries and our inability to offer relocation assistance. Some of the recommendations that I would have for change or action would be to just in general increase funding to education in order to be more competitive in all areas. And as a result of that, we could be more aggressive in the recruitment process. I think that we have to look at ways to enhance our retirement system to help the help in the retention and the recruitment process. And I think that in general, we have to invest more in the student transportation system. I think we currently pay people more to deliver lunches to our schools than we do to deliver our children. And I think that's somewhat startling. Again, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I applaud your efforts to gather input from us on this issue.
Our thanks to you and for your information and your brevity. For those that have more extended remarks or just have written copy of their remarks, if you could get those to us, we'll make sure that they do get into the record, and our support staff that has to transcribe all this will be forever grateful. Gina?
Yes, me, Representative Bundy?
Yes, Noble staff.
Support staff, if anyone would like to get us their written comments, emailing it would be extremely useful.
The phone number to track me down is 269-0181, and the email address is an arm long, so just give us a call and we'll get it to you. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for this opportunity. My name's Gina Pastos, and I'm a curriculum principal at Service High. Actually, I'd signed in thinking I was signing in, but I'll go ahead and just make some short remark here.
Never turned down
an
offer.
You can tell I'm very honest. Sorry. One of my famous faults. Actually, the whole teacher shortage issue is not just a matter of finances and money. It's also about the quality issue as well. When Teresa was up here saying we have so many candidates that are in the pool, it's not just a matter of them being there. It's a matter of the quality. And that unfortunately does come back down to money. I think we can only recruit those quality candidates with good pay, competitive pay. And then, which kind of is a cyclical sort of situation. Let's say we do have 6 applicants in art. Let's say I go with the warm body theory and get a warm body in my art classes. Well, then I'm down to actually having to micromanage that teacher into thinking about possibly a different situation for themselves, which comes back to my time as an administrator. So then we're all back to, okay, what am I going to go for? The quality teacher that isn't going to cost me a lot of time. Because when I'm dealing with that teacher, when I'm role modeling to another teacher that may want to become an administrator, is that, oh, maybe they don't want to become an administrator because, look, they have to deal with the teacher shortage. So what I'm coming up to is kind of a humorous approach, but not really. The time that I spend working with the teachers who are not quality, who should not be, and the warm body theory of just filling a position really does suck up my time, and then I'm not a role model for those people who want to become an administrator. It also comes down to respect. I think, I don't know how you create that except by modeling it. Respect for the position, respect for teachers. The elephant in the room today is that a lot of teachers don't feel respected, and that's why they leave the job. And it's not just from within, it's from without, it's from the communities. So having said that, I should let you know that I'm a product of Anchorage School District. I actually remember coming to this room in 1983 when they were laid out 6 books about this thick across this very table, or table similar to this, and said, good luck in getting in the district because it's very competitive, it's very hard to do. And now when I ask for an eligible to hire list and it's about 8 pages long, that's a real difference. That was only about 19 years ago. So I think that should give a pretty good testament to what's happened in the last few years. I can't really say much more than what's already been said, and I do appreciate this time. I think it's commendable that you guys are giving us this time, and I do appreciate it. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you. Yep. Margo Bellamy?
Good afternoon. The problem with being almost last is everybody steals your thunder. Anyway, I would like to thank you for this opportunity, and I'd like to recognize my appreciation for the work that the legislature did last year with where education is concerned. It was a wonderful start. You really did put money where it was really needed. My focus today, my name is Margo Bellamy, and I'm in the Anchorage School District. Currently, I am the Equal Employment Opportunity Officer for the Anchorage School District. I have had a total of 30 years plus in the Anchorage School District. What I'd like to focus on just briefly is a couple of areas of recruitment. Minority recruitment and in terms of diversity, bringing diversity, and I think it's possible to have both diversity and quality. I will try not to repeat what's already been said Our kids, we're here today because of our students, all of the students in the state of Alaska. They deserve the best. And our district, our goal, our main goal is to educate students for success in life. I'd like to quote Mahatma Gandhi, who once said, "We must live what we want the world to become." If that is indeed the case, whatever we do in terms of our recruitment efforts or our diversity efforts, we must reflect the world which we are preparing students to be successful in, which means we must link. We must absolutely find a way to link quality with diversity. As a parent in the Anchorage School District, having had two kids go through the school district, my expectation was that when my kids go to school, they are going to learn respect, they're going to learn tolerance, and they're going to learn it from the people who are in that building, not just from teachers, but from everyone who is in that building. Our job, then, is to find a way to get a diverse workforce that reflects our kids and that reflects Alaska or Anchorage or wherever we are. I believe that that is possible. I believe it's a challenge, and I believe that we need money to do that. However, I think we can be as creative as the dollars will allow. So not just in terms of diversity, in terms of race and ethnic, but the jobs that we need to have people do. And that's not just teaching. It's also the classified positions, all of the TA positions, the bus drivers. So we do need that. And it's going to take us to be aggressive in going where the applicants that we need are. I strongly believe in promotion from within, recruiting from within, not just the organization, but within the state, from the pool. Our pool is very narrow. Right now, we have 569 applicants in our pool as of an hour ago. Of that, 60 of them are minority candidates. Now that's just the teacher pool. I did not check that our classification pool. So that gives you an idea of what our challenge is. We cannot forget, I'm not advocating that we just go for diversity and not quality. I'm advocating that we go for both. We can't have one without the other. Our kids deserve it, and I think that has to be a focus as we work our way through the teacher shortage issue. And of course, retaining the retention piece is another piece that we often forget, and we can't forget that either. So those are pretty much the comments that I wanted to make that I don't think anyone else came up with. But there are some successful programs that we need to look at and look at how to fund again. The Cook Inlet Cook Inlet Regional. Had a teacher training program, part of a grant that the Anchorage School District was a valuable part of. It recruited, educated, and placed over 100 Alaska Native teachers. 50% of them went back to the bush, but 50% stayed here in Anchorage. So we need to look at that kind of project. But we need money. I would advocate for each district providing each district a pool of recruitment money to address the needs of recruiting in that particular, for each particular district. And you've already heard the growing our own. I personally believe that we need to reach down into the high schools. I became interested in education as part of the Future Teachers of America. Sounds like a long time ago, but I believe that something worked there. And I would think if you would ask a lot of people who are almost my age or my age, they would probably tell you that it took something or someone to touch them that way and to give them that opportunity. And the other part, my final comment would be with looking at the people who have already committed to education. They're already working in school somewhere in some capacity. Not only do we need to groom them and give them the opportunity to become teachers, most importantly, we need to give them teaching positions when they complete their coursework, and give them mentors and the support to do that. Thank you.
And for our graduates, we may have to make sure we have an economy here. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And Diane? pogue? Having been in the military, I know what a pogue is.
Okay, that's good. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Diane Pogue, and I am the Director of Related Service Programs for the Anchorage School District. So my comments will be specific to related service areas and perhaps specific suggestions that would relate to that population of shortage educators. It's my responsibility to recruit, recommend, hire, supervise, and do professional training for 9 specialty areas within special education, which is approximately 170 certificated staff in Anchorage. Related services is made up of those highly specialized areas which have already been mentioned, but I'll mention them again: speech language, school psychologists, occupational therapists, physical therapists, audiologists, teacher of the deaf and hard of hearing, teachers of the blind and visually impaired, adaptive physical education specialists, assistive technology, and sign language interpreters. All of these areas are areas of shortage, not just for the Anchorage School District, but statewide. There are no university training programs within the state in any of these 10 specialty areas. These specialists are highly sought after, and even in the states that have university training programs, they're not able to put out enough people to fill all of the need. As you've heard before, we're no longer competitive to attract these specialists to our state. All of these people we recruit, we must recruit from outside. The majority of these specialists require a master's degree, and particularly in speech language, as well as some of the other areas, we are at a crisis point currently. We started experiencing this shortage many years ago. It's like we're at the tip of the wave. Related service areas showed the shortage first, and then special educators were right behind them, and now regular educators. So we have been fighting this recruiting retention problem for many years. We're at the point, however, that we're sort of on a slippery slope where historically we've had 15 to 20 positions that we need to fill in all of these areas each year. And as this problem has gotten increasingly more difficult to fill these positions, each year we're losing more people than we're able to hire, and so we're going with unfilled positions, and schools are not being covered, and there's student IEPs that are not being served at this time in some of these areas. So particularly with speech language is the most critical area at this moment, although all of the others have also had positions that we could not fill. We compete with those people in the private sector, so they're not just in education, and we cannot compete with them even for those people who move to our community. At the current time, for example, in speech language, we have 13.8 speech language positions that we were not able to fill this year. And looking at other options and being creative about how we can provide services differently, since we've been working on this problem for the last 10 years, we are doing a lot of those alternative things, and yet we still need enough professionals in order to deliver the services. So some of the things that I wanted to encourage you as a committee to consider for both retention and recruitment of related service staff, some of them were comments that other people had made. The one about university programs in the state, the idea about tuition waivers or paying people to do online programs or move out of state to get these master's degrees and come back to the state and give 5 years of service and then their tuition would be paid for would be really critical, because the university programs here, even if the money was given to the universities, these are such small programs that it would be very difficult for them to have enough money to actually produce enough people in each of these areas. So having our folks access university programs outside would be probably the most reasonable way to go, as well as supporting students in a new program that has just started that is an associate's degree, a 2-year program for speech language assistants. They also need some financial support to go into that program. In the response to an earlier question to Rich about a separate salary schedule for some of those hard to fill positions, I strongly support that idea. And actually I support that idea with some strings attached from the state, because I think that each district would, since we're all competing for these same people, that would sort of even the playing field somewhat. And the union contract issue is one that's just really hard to get above or beyond that. And if the state made the determination for statewide shortages, so that as we're recruiting for any state position, that if you're a school psychologist, a speech pathologist, or a hard-to-fill position, that the supplemental salary came from the state, we would get away from some of the in-district union contract limitations that we have. For retention, I need to mention the staff development piece, that as people keep talking about quality, it is definitely something that we have to take on to do more education of staff, even when we hire them, particularly hiring young, new, and experienced teachers. And there is not money directed towards those unique positions, because most of the monies that come through for staff development are put towards the larger groups of people, because that tends to make sense. So those monies tend to go to the bigger groups, and there needs to be some monies directed for staff development for those individual areas of need once people are hired. The paperwork question about the web-based IEPs, the state is looking into a particular program that they want to use. However, I'm also on a committee to look at different web-based programs to streamline the IEP paperwork process to give teachers more time to teach kids and less time to do this. However, in the state tends to, the program that they're looking at is not necessarily one that would serve Anchorage needs as well. In other words, it's a program that would work very well for a smaller number of students that you're putting into the system. For Anchorage, we are so large that there are other companies and other web-based programs that are more expensive, but they are built for large school districts, and they have the supports needed for large school districts. So if the state chooses one that's good for the bush and isn't good for Anchorage, and then we all have to use it, I'm not sure it will help with our retention problem at all. There's also another idea has to do with the state DOE perhaps being more flexible and generous in working with Anchorage, again, because we're so large. Each time they make a change, it may be a small change, you know, change the IEP forms, or change to add another piece of paper, or change in how they want us to organize our files. Again, in a small district, sometimes implementing those changes is not as big a deal. Here, we have 8,000 students and all these teachers that we have to train. So for example, if we wanted to go online to do web-based IEPs in 2 years, we are in a difficulty because they want us to change all of our paperwork now. So we're looking at implementing and training all of our special ed teachers to use new IEP forms next fall and go through all the training and figure out on computer how they're going to do it. And then a year later, perhaps, do the web-based thing, because otherwise we'd have to be asking for a 2-year waiver. So those kinds of things would be helpful. Hiring early, there was a question about that. Particularly for these hard-to-fill positions, it's difficult for us to offer contracts to graduate students who aren't going to graduate until spring. So having some sort of contingency, perhaps, that they're able to be hired for a semester or something like that in order to get their certificate once they get here. It's hard for them to make a commitment to move here if they can't even apply for a certificate. And making the certificate process easier. The staff that I try to recruit in all of these areas do make comments about not only the fee for having to take the Alaska Studies and the Multicultural, but the time and intensity of that. And in fact, we had one of our people quit this year for that very reason. She had worked for us for 2 years. She said, I'm not going to be here for another year or two. It's not worth me going and taking those classes. So waiving the requirement for those two classes for these specialty areas, it's not that they're not an important concept, but I don't think that they are worth losing candidates over requiring them to take Alaska Studies and Multicultural Education. So those are some ideas that I had for you to consider. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A technical question.
Mm-hmm. Where do nurses fall?
Nurses are under special education. Within this district, they're under special education.
So
they are
support services.
They are also support services, and they also are facing shortages as well.
So they're under your purview. When people talk about support services, it just dawned on me that no one in the last day,
yes,
2 days, have mentioned nurses.
I think nurses fall different in different places in different districts. They happen to be organized with support services under special education, but they're probably in different places in each district.
Okay, thanks.
They fall within the shortage category, I know that. Debbie? The question as you're coming up, if we still have a few people, can we push the 5 o'clock time limit a little bit or with your facility, or have we?
I think so. I was looking for where
he stepped out a minute ago.
I'll check that for you.
Okay, thank you. So we don't have to.
I want to start by again saying thank you, not only for taking the time to be here, which I think is so valuable, because you're hearing people who are in the trenches and have specific in-depth knowledge of the topic and often innovative approaches to solving problems. But the other part of the thank you is for all the work you did last session. A committee on education is essential. Many other states have it, and I'm very happy to see the legislature moving in that in the direction. And you did a lot of work last session. I wish I could say all of our problems were solved, however. I am a member of the Anchorage School Board. I have chaired our legislative committee for several years now. Had the opportunity to come down and see you several times, and we'll be doing it again this session. We have adopted as a legislative priority this particular issue. It's been high on our agenda for a number of years. We have to do something to improve both our teacher and administrator recruitment and retention. We're coming to you with the goal of offering you a wide spectrum of specific solutions that we think would help. You've already, last session, done a couple of them. The access to retired teachers is, as you heard, greatly appreciated, and the ability to bring some non-certificated specialists in and work with them as they get certificated is also very appreciated, as is some of the recognition for outside certification. Those are all things that the legislature has done proactively on this problem. I had the opportunity to accompany the superintendent on this conference at the Great City Schools, and it absolutely was astounding to me how widespread the problem is. Even though we are still in the top quartile on salaries, these other districts are having to do incredible things to get the staffing that they needed. I talked to people in Houston, and not only are they doing loan forgiveness and in very large bonuses, they have an incredible budget for recruitment and actively go out in the country. They have an advertising campaign and things that were really unheard of a few years ago. I thought the most valuable thing would be to recognize and echo to you some of the myriad potential solutions that the board has heard as we visited schools and talked to administrators. The special education one that was just mentioned by the last speaker has been particularly troublesome for us because, as you know, not only is that the area of our most acute shortage, but it's also an area where our district and every district faces liability. That's a mandated service that has to be provided. So if we don't have the staff, we have incredible pressures to either work with private people to bring them in to provide or to force people out of doing the kind of work that they like doing to fulfill this mandated service that has to be done. So the efforts to look at decreasing the paperwork, at supporting by relaxing administrative regulations, some of the requirements in special ed, are incredibly helpful. I had the opportunity to participate with some of the professionals of this district in a couple of workshops with the department people about how we can move in that direction. We're also going to be very active at the national level in lobbying because IDEA is coming up for reauthorization very soon, and boy, the regulations will kill you on this one. We support and very much believe that specific financial gains that we could make in the way of salaries, in the way of bonuses, in the way of enabling us to recognize more of that experience, in the way of us to provide more effective mentoring program would be incredibly helpful. You made a step that direction this last session with increasing the dollars If you hadn't done that, we would have been in a position of having to lay off quite a few teachers. You saved us last year around, but the problem continues. We have talked with several legislators about the tuition reimbursement and somehow subsidizing training. There have been, I know, a couple of bills that were specifically looking at that last year. One of the areas that may be an avenue you are interested in pursuing, there's a program already in place, so it's vanishing quickly, the WUI program, where kids can go to universities outside of Alaska to get specialized training and get that same education at a lowered as an in-state tuition. We have urged and talked with several legislators about enlarging the field that of majors that enable kids to access that program, particularly for high shortage areas. And it may be financially you'd like to put some limits on that for maybe a specific period of time and very specific fields that have identified shortage areas, but it would be incredibly helpful because, as you heard very well spoken earlier, there just isn't the resources in the university system to give us the numbers and the training in these high shortage areas. We've also had some preliminary conversations with some folks from HFC. You heard something about housing subsidies, but we found that many urban districts also do some sort of mortgage discount or a housing subsidy to attract people. So I think that there's some potential there. We we very much appreciate increased flexibility in certifying and licensure, not only in-state, but also greater recognition of what's already been achieved out-of-state. The suggestion from Lee Wilson that you heard very early this afternoon about helping with health insurance. Logically, a bigger pool of employees should enable any entity to get better rates when trying to get effective health insurance. And this issue, the cost increases in health insurance alone, have just been killing Anchorage and every other district across the state for a long time. So we'd be very interested in that. Looking at retirement, elimination of the Tier 2 and Tier 3, we heard from teachers all over our district that that's been a problem. We also appreciate the direction that you went in allowing us to look at non-traditional applicants this last year and urge you to continue that direction. Another potential idea, there's a difference in the vesting time we found, the PERS system and the TRS system, shortening that vesting time for TRS we believe would be helpful. As you heard from the practitioners, once employees get far enough in the system where they feel that they've got a retirement and some protections, they tend to stay more. The other interesting thing to me, as I talked to both superintendents and board members from all over the country, was how fortunate they have been to have a strong university system to buttress their efforts and to provide help in training in the specific areas where they have shortages. With that, we hope to have a good working relationship and will be all with you and would be glad to provide you any specific information you need to go forward in this valuable task as the year progresses. And unfortunately, I didn't write those down in a coherent, logical fashion, but if that would help you at some time, our committee would be glad to work on that.
Well, thank you. That would be very helpful. Thank you. I'm looking forward to an interesting discussion of the committee about what gels from all the testimony we get and how legislatively we can help it. We'll be surely back asking for reaction.
Okay, and just one quick other additional comment based on some previous questions. As a school board member, and I know I feel a certain degree of empathy with legislators, because when you have a fixed budget and you have to proportion that money. I want to assure you we would dearly love to have been able to pay more for experience, but we'd also love to get computers in the schools and to well maintain our buildings in good status, and so it's been a challenge these last few years. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Wonderful. So if we, your patience will permit, we'll listen and until we run out of your patience. To hear from some of the best and the brightest, one of the finest gold middle schools in Anchorage, that of course being in my district.
I'm gonna thank you for talking about Clark, so.
Well, there's the mentor of the middle schools, the principal, Connie Bensler. I can say that with some authority because I spent a day there when the legislator back to school thing in September.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was very delightful. Thank you, Chairman Bundy, and thank you, members of the committee, for this opportunity. I am Connie Bensler. I'm principal at Golden View, and I'm the past president of the Anchorage Principals Association, and I will be very brief, just have a few comments that are very near and dear to all of us as principals. I recently read an article by Miss Manners who said that it's rude to speak about money in polite, except in the business world. And I'm going to define this occasion as being part of the business world because it really is all about money. And unfortunately, that is in fact the problem with our current situation. When I came to Alaska in 1969, the allure of Alaska was at least 75% of the reason why I came here. Allure is wonderful, but you can't live on it, and it's very expensive to live here, and many of our young teachers are finding it difficult to make ends meet, and our teaching staff is young in Anchorage. It's very young, very young. A couple of things that I would like to see you consider for the recruitment and retention of teachers and administrators and teacher assistants and special area folks and substitute teachers would be a couple of indirect and direct measures that would help us keep these folks around. Indirectly, forgiveness of student loans. It's been said 100 times. One of the things that would really help make this even happen more successfully is if those student loans were not just from universities in Alaska, but universities all over the country. A lot of our young people go out of the state because they've never been out of the state for any length of time. They want to see what it's all about, but they want to come home. They want to live here. They want to work here, but they can't afford to. Or they once get outside of Alaska, they meet someone, they get hooked on that community, they get a job out there, they're gone. We need to get them back here and keep them here. Much like the WAMI program for medical students. My son is in the WAMI program right now at the University of Washington. That's a wonderful program. And it's a fairly cheap program for what you end up with. If we could do something like that for teachers and administrators, I think we would have money well spent. Also, credit for teaching experience prior to coming to Alaska is a very important thing. I know lots of teachers. I went out to a recruitment fair last April and talked to some experienced teachers who would come here, but they found out that they're not really able to get much credit for their outside experience, and they'd have to take a significant pay cut. Not interested in doing that. We need to be more competitive with substitute teachers because we're competing with the rest of Anchorage and Alaska's economy, and right now we have a shortage of substitute teachers. We have elementary principals who spend their day being elementary principal and subbing for one of their teachers because they can't get a substitute for them. In secondary schools, we use teachers who have planning time or prep time, and they split up their day and take a period of a person's class who's missing. But that's not a good way to go, and it's getting to be a real crisis for elementary principals in elementary schools. See if we can streamline the whole accreditation process a little bit. That's a problem. And sometimes we lose candidates to Alaska because they're not sure that their accreditation is going to take place. They have to take the praxis. They have to take these courses, and it's all been talked about before, but it is a problem for some young teachers who would like to come up here but aren't sure they can get through all of that. And then finally, I would like to see
something to encourage these young teachers to become administrators. I have some fine teachers at Golden View that I would love to see go into administration. They can't afford to. They're not making enough money as a teacher to be able to pay for a master's degree at the University of Alaska Anchorage, which does offer a master's degree in public school administration, but it's too much money. Let's give them grants. If they agree to be an administrator for the Anchorage School District for the state of Alaska, let's let them go for free for however many years it takes to offset the cost of their education. Those are real practical things that we can do that aren't terribly expensive, but in the end, I think will serve us well. And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thanks for allowing this to happen today. It's pretty exciting.
Giving credit where credit is due, the committee members would have had my neck if we didn't meet. Mike Henry, please.
Chairman Bundy and committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Mike Henry. I'm the director of high schools for Anchorage School Districts. My comments will be brief, and they're from the perspective of our high school principals. I recently collected some data from all of the Anchorage School District high school principals. I don't necessarily have any solutions, but certainly can identify some of the most current problems that we're having. Principals are having real difficulties hiring, and it's across the board this year. We have many positions that have just recently been filled, but these positions cover math and science and special ed, and you've heard those, but also in areas where we used to have a large pool of teacher candidates in social studies and in physical education, and certainly in the vocational areas and business education and vocational education. Each principal has indicated a real difficulty in finding quality candidates. I think you know the strength of a school is a direct reflection of the strength of the people that work there. Good administrators are critical. Adequate funding is necessary, and quality teachers are an absolute must. As this discussion continues, please continue to keep principals in mind and all of those support people. Speaking of principals, we're almost halfway afraid to send our principals out to these job fairs to recruit because they're being recruited by other states. I don't believe that this problem requires a complex solution, and maybe I'm just a little bit naive. I think that we can simply make the profession of education a little more attractive in Alaska. There are many things that we can do, but all of them, I believe, require funding. I'm glad I'm not in your position because funding has to come somewhere. I certainly want to echo the thoughts of other people in thanking you for the relief that we received in funding in the state of Alaska for education and specifically in the Anchorage School District. So I know there will be some solutions coming. I would also like to encourage you, if you have to set some priorities, that the priority number one be on retention. Everyone is very interested in recruiting good quality candidates, but I think if there has to be priority set, I think the retention issue should be number one. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jan Christensen? Thank you for your patience.
I'm going to be very brief because much of what I had to say has really been said, and I'm a high school principal, Chugiak High School. And thank you very much for this opportunity, Chairman Bundy and other committee members. We really do appreciate you coming and listening to us speak about this issue. At Chugiak, I've been there for almost nine years, and each year it is getting more difficult to fill positions, and particularly in the areas that Mike Henry addressed, science, mathematics, career technology, special education. Even in things like language arts, last year we subbed a language arts position for almost a month before we could find even candidates to interview that were qualified. So we're seeing this across the board in our staffing every year, and it's becoming so that staffing now, which we used to complete early August, so that I had my staff online ready to go when school started, now we're opening school yearly with substitutes and positions. And just last Monday, I filled the three final positions, but we're asking for emergency certifications for those people with special education, career tech, and mathematics. And I have a part-time choir teacher on an emergency certificate. So, you know, certainly you're hearing the problem, and we appreciate that. I came to Alaska 21 years ago, and primarily because I wanted a grand adventure, and it's a wonderful place to live. And I found that when I came, I got a substantial pay raise from Michigan. That would no longer be the case. And in fact, if my husband and I went back there, we would get our salary, if we had stayed, would have been higher. So that is an issue. When I went out to recruiting in Seattle, the line was very short at the Anchorage booth when we were trying to get people to interview. In fact, I was recruited by some of the other districts. And you can go to the Las Vegas and California, and there's long lines. And that's what we're facing and competing with. And I really concur with what Lee Wilson and Debbie Osiander said. I think that the tier retirement system is discussed widely and from teachers that I hear. New teachers that I've had that have left after 1 or 2 years, they've been offered positions outside of the state because they really don't have a vested interest in that. And I do concur with Mike, too, that retention is a major issue. We have some fine teachers, and I have the privilege of working with outstanding teachers at Chugiak. One of my teachers just got the Milken Award for $25,000, and, you know, she is an example of what quality education is, but we have a lot of other 1, 2, 3-year teachers that are excellent. They can hardly make their car payments, their loan payments, and they're looking at other positions. I've lost teachers to being the crime lab, to being in the fire department here, and teachers looking. So I thank you for everything you're trying to do, because this is a big problem from our perspective in the trenches especially. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it Cy or Sid? I know it's not Sid. It is Sid. Well, I was only 50% wrong.
Good afternoon, Chairman Bundy and other members of the committee. My name is Sid Duffin. I'm the curriculum assistant principal at Chugiak High School, working under Jan Christensen. And so I have just a few things to share with you from the trenches, so to speak. But first, I want to thank you for everything that you did last year. I got the opportunity to come see you twice, and I saw firsthand how hard you work. I want to thank you for the work on Senate Bill 86 that allowed us to emergency certify folks that are involved in the education program but aren't quite finished yet. I didn't think I would need it so soon, but I needed it last week. I also want to thank you for the Learning Opportunity Grant monies that you were able to provide and bolstering the foundation formula. The reason those things are so important when we talk about retention and recruitment is that anything we do to enhance the climate of the school for our teachers and our students has the potential to make people want to stay and stick around. So that's making a good difference. I solicited some staff feedback from our older, more experienced teachers, because I wanted to know what they would say if they could be here to talk to you about what they think would help. And many of their ideas have been shared tonight, so I won't repeat those. But a couple more that I didn't hear discussed were, for instance, providing better medical coverage for all teachers in the state, subsidizing home loans for teachers through HFC over a period of time, someone did say forgiving an entire student loan over a 10-year period, even if the teacher earned their degree outside. That's a great idea. The reason for that being that once teachers are here for 10 years, they probably won't leave. They'll fall in love with our state. Paying a retention benefit once a teacher becomes eligible for retirement, such as a cash bonus, a percentage of their salary that would increase their eventual retirement benefit, and at a point for every year they stay actively employed. I think one of the ideas that you've heard that needs to be expounded upon is the mentoring idea. Merit pay has its critics and its cheerleaders, but when you create a climate that's divisive or where there's competition in a place that needs to have synergy and collegiality, I think that that can be problematic. When teachers are mentored, they say that they have a better chance of staying in the school because they feel connected and supported and belong. And teaching can be a very isolating experience, as you know, having been a former teacher. So I think that that would be something that would be more beneficial for our teachers. Many of our retired teachers that gave me, or are retiring, soon to retire teachers that talked to me, said that they would really like to come back and mentor some of our new teachers and help them. So I want to thank you for that. I did have the opportunity to interview a number of teachers that were, applicants that were attempting to become teachers through the emergency certification process. And I felt lucky to find someone to teach math who seems to be a natural. It was very rare, though. That hasn't been my experience. When I've interviewed people without an education background, and I've asked, tell me what you know about collaboration and team teaching. I don't know. What is that? Tell me how you would use technology in the classroom. Do you mean computers? You know, the answers, these people are trained in their subject area, but not trained and experienced in educating. And my concern about that, even though it is very helpful and Senate Bill 86 definitely came in handy for me, is I don't know what I'll say to a parent down the road if their child has been in a math classroom with someone who is not a certified math teacher and their child is not passing the exit exam. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I think there are any number of college professors that are proof that just being an expert in your field doesn't make you a teacher. Present company accepted.
Thank you.
Jerry?
I was beginning to think that you started at the bottom of the list, because I remembered my name was higher on there when we started this afternoon.
Jerry, you're down there.
Oh,
number from last.
You're back to that list. I'm Jerry Shalander. I'm the Director of Special Education for the Anchorage School District. And many of the points that that I would have made earlier, I've marked off my list here to conserve a little time. Probably the main point that I'd like to make at this time of the day is that that in special education we basically have sort of two mandates for student progress. One of them is the federal law referred to as IDEA that mandates services and progress for students under their individualized educational plans. The other mandate that we have is through our state standards. We in special education in our district are very dedicated to the idea of state standards, and we're very much on a daily basis attempting to ensure student progress for all students. We have seen some action by the legislature that has really helped special education students as well as regular ed students with the Learning Opportunities Grant to enable us to provide more opportunities for support and remediation for students. And you know, we've had slight increases in the federal funding that has helped as we've attempted to provide those services under the federal law. The issues of recruitment and retention are very intertwined for special education. As we have experienced shortages as we've attempted to recruit teachers, the impact then is felt by those teachers that are currently employed when we ask them to work longer hours, to work through their conference periods and their planning periods. Through our contract, we've been able to offer them added duty pay in order to do that, but it really does contribute to burnout by those professionals that we have very that we regard very highly, and yet, because of our mandate to provide services for special education students, we many times have to ask them to go above and beyond the duty. I had saved some of my details of my presentation for Nancy Nagarka, who is our special education supervisor that handles most of our staffing and recruitment currently. And
Nancy?
If I can.
Certainly.
Hi. I just, again in brevity, I will keep this very short, but we started the year with 40 openings in special education, and this is related services and as well as Alaska State School for the Deaf. Right now we're at 33 openings, and I had hired over 14 since September, but we've lost six speech paths since September and one psychologist. So as fast
Excuse me, those losses would be attributed to?
Well, six of them signed intents and decided not to come because they had better offers other places.
Thank you.
And so it seems like that we really are trying. It's just kind of like a sieve in a way. We are worried about the quality also for our children. We don't lose track that we are all here for the kids and not just to put people in front of them. A couple of things that a lot of the new teachers that I've hired have reported to me and is the state certification department. It would really help if they could somehow, we could somehow streamline it. They could accept other states' testing instead of having the teachers go back and redo the practice test because most of them are young and coming out. A lot of them have taken the PPST and some other different state testings, which would be in line like ours. Having them accept some faxes, just being more user-friendly. They're the first people that most of our applicants statewide talk to, and I think it would behoove us to see that they are very friendly, upbeat, and encouraging. That's one of the things in the State Department that I like to suggest. And I know that UAA also, university system, is really a standalone type system, but we have hired eight teachers under waivers, and in order to get a waiver in this state, you have to have an Alaska certification and have taken 9 credits in special ed. What I'm hearing that's happening is that they're going into more, you have to enroll in a master's program, and then you can pick those 18 credits that you need to get an endorsement and not complete your master's program. And to me, that's kind of a no-win situation all the way around for the UA system. I'm on the committee for the web-based IEP that we're working on. Anchorage has done diligence and has gone out for bids and processes and have done everything we need to do. At our state director's conference, the state director of special ed talked to all of us about a system that they would like to have put in place statewide, and of course Anchorage being the larger one has a lot of different needs when the smaller ones, and I came from Kodiak, so I got both kind of sides of the story here. And so what they had decided was that the State Department would, if in fact we could meet some criteria, would maybe help offset costs, which it's going to be very expensive statewide. I would like to encourage you to talk to Mr. Maloney and see exactly where he's going with that and how much money he really wants to put up for us, because we're ready to go.
So. I know how much he wants to put up. I just don't know how much he can.
Well, that's one. See how much he can do. basically, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
Anybody, or are we just
of anybody of all that remain now are subject to a grilling?
Well, I guess in general, it seems to me having been a freshman this last year, that I thought I'd introduce a simple bill on teacher loan forgiveness, and it came back several million dollars. And then they relooked at it again, and it came back multi-millions of dollars, like $20 million. I guess my question is, as good as that is, rather than put it into loan forgiveness, would it be better to put it into teacher salaries? Because there's all of these little programs out here that we could put lots of money into, and I think it sounds like maybe the real problem is teacher salaries. So rather than putting it all into all of these little programs that make it sound better, if a teacher in Wisconsin is thinking about coming to Alaska, they're not going to know about all the little details. They're going to be looking at the teacher salary issue. How much am I going to make if I go up there? Would you agree to that? I guess I'm looking at you, Jerry, because you're sitting there.
Say yes, Jerry.
Say yes, Jerry. You've got a lot of heads nodding behind you.
Our experience when we went out on the recruiting trips with the teacher placement fair, there were many times that teachers would come. We laid our salary schedules on the corner of our table, and teachers would come by and glance at our salary schedule and then move on. And most of the time, the teachers that we were able to recruit already had some connection with Alaska. Either it was a person that had moved outside to go to school, or they had family here and they really had a true interest in returning. But that the restrictions of our salaries that we're able to offer really has impacted. And it wasn't just Anchorage. As we sat there with representatives from other districts of Alaska, it was really sad to sit behind those tables for hours at a time, just hoping that someone would walk through the door. And then we all jumped on them like vultures. Mm-hmm. And we luckily didn't hurt anyone before it was over. Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. And I think people often aren't looking at things like the fact that there's no income tax, the fact that you get a permanent fund dividend. They're looking at the salary schedule. Thank you.
Just remember, what goes around comes around. And all those people in 1980 that stood in line desperately hoping to get a chance to talk to you about a job, they're getting their little piece of flesh back now. Gretchen, we are a chance now that we get to give them a quiz, and if they fail, we take their high school diploma back.
Are they going to do that test, you mean?
No, we're
sorry,
here.
We don't take it.
We're here to ask questions now. You've been so patient in not asking questions, so that it was something that had come up during testimony. Yeah, if there's someone who hasn't had an opportunity to testify, please, we'd be delighted to have you. And the rest of you, we're again, very appreciative of your patience. Hello there.
Good afternoon, Chairman Bundy and committee members. I'm Maxine Hill. I am currently the supervisor of the Bilingual Multicultural Education Program for the Anchorage School District. One of the greatest challenges in the Anchorage School District is to recruit and to retain qualified teachers who are certified in the area of bilingual and English as a second language. We need teachers who are sensitive to the cultural and linguistic backgrounds of all of our students. Many times over the last 5 to 7 years, I've hired teachers who have stayed with us for 2 years, and they've received offers in other states which were more lucrative to their needs, you know, as they were young folks who are having families and they really need the income to take care of these families. It's just difficult to retain our teachers. I know that bilingual and English as a second language teachers represent a shortage nationally, but here in Alaska, and particularly in Anchorage, we are at a double whammy, because over the last 10 years, our bilingual or limited English proficient population has just about doubled, and we just don't have teachers who are qualified to take care of the needs of those students. So any incentives, be that salary-wise or extensions for obtaining housing would be quite beneficial to that group of teachers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And there was one other person I'd like to testify. Okay. Well, it's been mentioned a couple of times, I think once by Debbie, that this was an opportunity to hear from those in the trenches. And that really is a benefit to the folks on this side of the table to be able to hear from people who have practical experiences. Because one of the things that we desperately don't want to do is make things worse. We, I suppose in one sense, we'll follow the medical model, and that is first do no harm. And as Representative Stevens pointed out, in attempting to make some improvements, there's often many unintended consequences that we may not be aware of until we hear from the trenches. So it's been a really unique and appreciative opportunity for us. Thank you again for the use of the facility and for the staff that helped make this possible. For those that come up with some other ideas that didn't get a chance to testify, we'll be at the Anchorage LIO, Legislative Information Office, from 6 to 7, taking statewide input. Then we're off to Kotzebue tomorrow to hear from another point of view. I'm really looking forward to the committee sitting down and seeing what gets distilled from all this information from the various points of view of the committee. We will undoubtedly be back asking for further input and reactions to some of the ideas we come up with. So thank you again. It's been a pleasure, and it's been very useful. With that, we'll stand adjourned.